good. Yeah, we've talking about community. That's cool. That's cool. So thanks for that. And then later in the afternoon, I pull out my phone and go to the part where it's like news and weather and, you know, just to see what's going on in the world. And I pull that up, and here's what I saw right there. The first article said, multi-generational homes are on the rise, offering a sense of community. Interesting. Even the world's talking about it. It's in the news. Community. It's people trying to build a sense of community, trying to have community. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. Actually, that kind of describes us, right? A multi-generational home offering a sense of community. That's kind of what we are, right? It's what we're supposed to be. It's what we ought to be. Okay, Lord, thank you. That's cool. I'll take it. That's funny. A second one. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cute, right? So then I thought, well, I'll just see what's going on in the Facebook community, you know, a little while later. And I pull up the phone and I look on Facebook and I see this statement here from a friend. Today's the first Sunday of 2019. I encourage you to make a vital connection to a local church this year. We're in this thing together. Hashtag community matters. Now, I don't know about you, like once it's an anomaly, right? Twos may be a coincidence. By the time you get to three, it's a trend, right? It's a trend. Any market guys back there who know the market, three is a trend. You can draw a trend line. So we're trending in this direction of community. And if there was any doubt or reticence or hesitation that I had, it's gone. So from now on, this is what it's going to be about. One way, shape, or another, God's a community. We are here to be and to build community. Anybody with me? Amen. Amen. And so we said last week, what is community? Asked us to consider our why and why we call it community church. What is community? Community defined is having commonality or some things in common, some things in common. A community might have geography in common, common dwelling place, a common culture. A community has a fellowship that's centered around common ideals or ideals in common, similar interests, similar goals, a fellowship of common ideals. And also, a community has needs in common. A group of individuals with needs in a common needs in common can come together in order to create community in which those needs are addressed. So this morning, how is it that we, as the body of Christ, have these three things in common? Geography in common, fellowship centered around ideals, needs in common. How do we, as a body, have them in common? Or if we do share these commonalities in the natural, let's see how these aspects of commonality can be seen in the spiritual realm. First the natural, then the spiritual. So let's look at that first one. We're going to be considering geography as we look at Philippians chapter 3. Geography, people dwelling in the same place or people that have dwelling place in common. How is it that we as a body of believers have a dwelling place in common? So in Philippians 3, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. And he warns them, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, he makes it clear from the outset. From the outset here, it doesn't matter what we have in the natural, even if we have some reason to have confidence. He says, don't put confidence. Listen, I understand too. I got a few things that I could sort of, you know, put confidence in the natural. But he says, listen, don't do that. We're those who worship God in the Spirit and put no confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I have even more. And he goes on to say all the reasons why. But in verse 7, he goes on to say, whatever things were gain to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, the natural realm, but from that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, the spiritual realm. He says, I consider everything that isn't Christ that in which I could put confidence to be garbage, to be rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Paul says, all this is so that I may be found in Him. We painstakingly talked about identity in the fall. About where's our identity derived from? Where does it come from? And who are we? We have to know who we are. He's speaking to identity here. That I may be found. I'll tell you, the only way I, the real me, the true identity I have, the only way the true identity is going to come out is if I'm found in Christ. It's the only way it's going to be realized. I might see it in other contexts and natural things and all these things. And Paul's saying, he's saying it this way, if you want to discover who you truly are, the only way to fully realize that potential is to be in Christ. I consider everything garbage. Why? So that I, the person that I truly am, may gain Christ and be found in Him. Where is Paul found? In Christ. In Christ. Paul is saying, He's my geography. That's the place I'm located. If you're looking for Paul, you're going to find him here in Christ. Christ is my geography. Is He your geography today, in a spiritual sense? Is He your geography? Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, he adds parenthetically, in case you're wondering. By grace you've been saved. Raised up with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Paul tells the Ephesians, they were dead, but now they've been made, saved, raised, and seated. They've been made, saved, raised, and seated. And you can be too. You can be made alive together with Christ. He's resurrected, so I'm resurrected. I'm made alive in Christ. I'm saved from sin, from death. I'm saved from separation from God. And I've been raised above self, above ourselves, above this world, above circumstances that seem to plague us and bring us so down. No, that's not my geography, these circumstances, that I may be found in Christ. That's my geography. Christ is where I'm found, not in these circumstances. So I've been raised above them and seated with Christ, in Christ, in heavenly places. By faith in Christ, we are all of those things, made, saved, raised, and seated. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the geography, the where you live, the dwelling place. He's the geography that we have in common, and it's from this commonality that springs our community. We have Christ in common. Are you with me this morning? Okay. My granddaughter came down with this virus last week, so we went there last week to check it out. And, you know, it's something when you're sick, you know, you're sick. It's miserable, right? But when you see, like, a little kid, like with 104, 105 fever, it's just kind of a miserable thing. And if you're a grandparent, you just can't stand that. You'd do anything you could to help them. And so during the week, I texted my son. I didn't ask you about this. Michael, he's giving me the thumbs up. Okay, let's see this. Okay, here we go. So here's a text between father and son here this week. And I said to Michael, how's our big girl doing today? How's the big girl doing? She's, of course, the big sister of three little siblings, and in case anyone didn't know, they have one more little sibling on the way. So congratulations, Michael and Tara. So Cameron is the big sister. So I said, how's our big girl doing there? How's the big girl today? Michael said, pretty much the same as she has been. And you can see at that point, see those little faces right there? Those little things. That's DEFCON 1 for grandfather, for papa. That's me. That's DEFCON 1. I'm crying. I'm indignant. Man, why is it that this little five-year-old girl has to suffer these things? And I'm praying. This is what Jesus would have done if when he was turning over the tables in the temple, he would have sent the angry emoji, you know, the crying emoji, the praying emoji. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. What's going on here? And so I send these emojis. Man, I'm upset. I'm like, you know, why is it that these things happen? You know, you just wish you could help this little girl, right? This big girl. And so I said, I'm praying for her, and I'm praying for all of you now. My son said, thank you. He said, thank you. Now, I wasn't physically with him. I wasn't near him. I had physically done nothing for him. But because we have a common geography in Christ, somehow in this moment, in some small way, through electronic means, God can use even electronic means, somehow community was being acknowledged and experienced and realized. Because something in me said, why does this little girl have to go through this? What is it in this world? I started repenting. Why this fallenness of myself and humanity that this girl has to go through this suffering, the sin and the evil in the world. By the end of it, I'm praying for her to be well. I'm praying for her parents. I'm praying for the new baby that's coming. I'm praying, repenting for myself and for all of you. But in some small way, there's no physical evidence, no physical thing happening. But God, because of our common geography in Christ, because we're in Christ, community was being experienced in a small way. And we can experience community because we have that geography in common. Are you with me? Amen. So that's the first thing that we have in common is geography in Christ. The second thing that we, on a spiritual plane, have in common is a fellowship of ideals in common. How is it that our spiritual community is a fellowship of common ideals? In what way do we have similar interests or goals? Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, the first few verses there. Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, in love, being diligent to to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and there's one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Now, if we search the scriptures, we'll find scores of them, but Paul outlines some of the common ideals of our community here. What are the common ideals? Right here, just to name a few. One is this first one, walk in a manner. Walk in a manner. That's a common ideal that we have, the way that we walk. We're supposed to have it in common. There's a way in which, a manner with which we're supposed to walk, supposed to carry ourselves. That walk, that word walk means everywhere that your foot treads. Everywhere that your foot treads, not just church on a Sunday morning, I have a certain manner. No. Everywhere your walk, everywhere your feet go, the manner in which we walk is supposed to have a commonality, a common ideal, common goal, common purpose. You know, the Marines have a certain culture and a certain community, don't they? And there's a certain way that they have to walk, isn't there? There's a certain way they walk, right? And if you get out of line or you're not in step with the community, boy, there's problems. The way that we walk reflects on the community. It reflects on the ideals that we're trying to hold up and say that we have together. So it can't be all of us in disparate ways going in different directions. There's supposed to be a commonality of ideals, and that's how community is built. It springs from this commonality of the manner in which we walk. In a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. The challenge for for us, I think sometimes we think that just the liturgy or the traditions that we have, as long as we have commonality in that way, then we're all together. It doesn't work that way. We don't have to all look the same, but we have to walk with the same ideals in common. I like the way the seals do it. How many of you know the seals have one baptism, and they have, right? They've all been experienced. They've all come through the fires of seals training, and before you can be on one of the seal teams, I mean, you have to have active experience in combat before you get to that level. But once you're in that place, I love the way they do it. There's diversity and there's creativity in the way that they do it. Everyone walks a certain way, believe me, but yet some of them dress differently. Some of them use different equipment than the other ones use. And so I'd love to see us, maybe in the coming weeks, we'll talk about God's creativity and how is it that we can have commonness and commonality in the way that we walk, yet have creativity and not all look exactly the same all the time. Amen? Amen. Paul goes on to say, here's some other ideals that we have in common. He says another one, humility. Humility. So, told the Philippians, esteem, prefer, regard others above or before yourselves. This is supposed to be a common goal of ours. This is commonality that we have. This is how community is built. He said tolerance for one another. I've heard people say that as Christians, we aren't supposed to tolerate. We're supposed to love. Well, that's good, and that sounds nice, but right here, he says, tolerate one another in love. Sometimes that's what we're called to do, and there's a commonness in that, that we allow for those differences. Not everything's the same. Not every member of the body has the same function. So we have to, in some sense, right now I'm tolerating my back the last couple weeks. But you know what? I'm glad I have a back. I thank God for a back. Right now my back is being tolerated. So sometimes Pastor Greg's laughing at me. You laugh. Go ahead. It's all right. Father time catches up with us all. It's okay. But tolerance in love. Show tolerance for one another in love, Paul says. Another ideal in common is gentleness. Now that's a lost art in today's world. Gentleness? Gentleness? Especially in New York in the 21st century, man. We fight fire with fire, and I want everything, and if I can't, I'm not being heard, well, I just raise my voice so you can hear me. Apparently, you have a hearing problem, right? But no, he says, here's a common ideal we have. It's called gentleness. Gentleness. Soft answer turns away wrath, Solomon says. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling in all gentleness and patience. When we talk about humility, that's something that we do. Peter exhorts us, humble ourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So that's something that we do. Humility's our job, and then he will exalt you in due time. God's going to exalt. That's his job. Ours is to walk in humility. Here's the manner in which we walk, clothed in humility. It's a common ideal that we have. But when we talk about things like gentleness, patience, love, we're going to need some help with that. Humility, okay, I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to, as an act of the will, respond to who God is and say, okay, I'm going to clothe myself in humility. But you know what? When it comes to some of these things like patience and kindness, man, I need help. That's not something that I can just manufacture on my own. It's not just a response that I have. I hope that by God's grace, it's a response that I have, or because of his Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit in our lives are things like love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, things like self-control. In order to be and to build community, in order to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and share these common ideals, we need the power of the one Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in our lives. So we share a spiritual geography in common in Christ, and we share a fellowship of ideals in common through the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And as I prayed before, and I prayed again, Lord, fill us, Lord, baptize us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, for your glory, help us to walk in community through the power of your Holy Spirit and the fruit of your Spirit, the evidence of your Spirit in us. And finally, we're a community that has needs in common. Needs in common. We're a group of individuals with common needs that can come together in order to create community in which those needs are being met. You know, there's a universal reality in the natural realm, a universal reality. Regardless of how strong or independent anyone in this room is, if you don't breathe, you die. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how fit you are, how whatever you are. You can have the best cardiovascular in the world. If you don't breathe air, if you don't get oxygen, you're going to die. And you can breathe all you want, but if you don't eat, there's a universal reality. You're going to die eventually at some point. You can breathe, you can eat, but if you don't drink water, you're going to die. There are needs that we all have in common in the natural, aren't there? Needs in common. It's a place where community can be built. But there are spiritual needs that we have. Spiritual needs. If you don't breathe the breath of life in a spiritual way, you will die. In fact, until God breathed in me, Paul said, you were dead. You were dead. And if I don't have the Spirit of God breathe life into me, I don't care how strong you are, I don't care how great everything looks, I don't care what it appears like from the outside or feels like on the inside. If he doesn't breathe the breath of life into me, I'm going to die. If I don't eat spiritual food, the bread of life, we're going to die. If you don't drink living water, the water of life, in a spiritual way, I'm going to die a spiritual death. So we're a community with these common needs. But the amazing and beautiful thing is God has granted us provision for every need that we have. Isn't that great? For every need that we have, he's designed and created provision for us so that the need can be met. In 2 Peter 1, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. We have needs and we die if our needs aren't met, but God has provided for everything that we need. So why do we walk around like we're deprived? Why do we walk around like we're starving? If he's granted everything that we need, we're supposed to be partakers, he says. Maybe the divine nature's there, but we're not partaking of it. Maybe we're not experiencing the water of his Spirit and partaking of the life of Christ today in which we ought to walk. We have needs in common, but we also have supply in common. Paul says in Philippians 4, I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I'm amply supplied, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Where are they? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the geography. That's where I want to be. In Christ Jesus. His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But pastor, he's talking about physical things here. Well, he is. But he says, my God shall supply all your needs, not just in the natural. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the God of the universe. There's nothing too difficult. Whatever your challenge is, whatever your need is in the natural, of course he shall supply, because that's part of all. But there's a whole other part of all that we just fail to see sometimes. The spiritual side, these spiritual needs. We get so distracted with the things that we need in the natural, or distracted with the things that we have in the natural, that we miss. There's a spiritual need here. And he says, Paul testifies, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Do we think there are dollar bills in heaven? I don't think there's, any of you think there are dollar bills? There's not like a bank up there, or, you know, a credit card or something. So all your needs in glory, guess what? It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual exchange. It's a spiritual need that can be met. And we get distracted with the physical needs. He says, no, I'm amply supplied in the natural, in the spiritual. God has everything that we need. So we have these needs, but he has supply for us, for our spiritual lack. James says it this way, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Everything we need and everything you need and some good and perfect gifts too. There's like gifts, and Kevin prayed for them this morning. There's gifts, there's grace, there's empowerment beyond what we even need. Because God wants to build community. He wants to enjoy community with us, and he wants us to become and to build community with one another and with the people around us. And because of our Father who loves us, we have ample provision in common. If we're in Christ, we share common geography. And if we've received the Holy Spirit, then we have fellowship in common through common ideals. And though we have needs in common, our Father, who has riches in glory, has provided for us, so we have provision in common. In certain ways, I want to say it's up to us, or I want to say it's time. It's time. We have everything that we need, all the means at our disposal to be and to build community right here. I'm believing God for something more and something better. I don't mean bigger and like better in that way. I mean deeper and richer and I don't want to say more authentic, as if it's not authentic, but just grow in that grace and that authenticity of real, true community in this place. If Jesus is your geography, if we're in Christ together, if God's Spirit is in us, and he's provided everything that we need, ample supply, then what's our excuse? Distraction with circumstances or things of the world? By his grace and for his glory, we can become and we can build community right here and become the people who walk in a manner worthy of the call with which we've been called. Show us the way, Father. Show us the way. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, would you lift our vision higher? Would you take me, would you take us beyond the place where we have been and lead us? Lead us, Lord, beyond ourselves, beyond our preferences, beyond our desires, into a place of community, into a place of abundance, a place where we walk in a manner worthy of this calling. Thank you that you have ample supply for us. Ample supply for us to be and to build everything you've called us to be and to build. I pray that by your grace, by the power of your Spirit, that we won't be those that disrupt and tear down community, but we would be those who build up, Lord, who walk in everything that you've called for us to walk in, that we wouldn't be absorbed with self and with circumstance, but Lord, we would be absorbed with and consumed by community, not the individual. for your glory, Father, and for our good. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. I want to leave you with one verse from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Somebody sent to me at 6:30 this morning. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the love of God and peace will be with you. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go today. And as you go, consider how you can be and build community. Amen. God bless you.